The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Tuesday, April the 30th. It is the last day of the month of April in 2024. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. If this is your first time joining us, please let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And of course, if you're listening by Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, we want to welcome you to tonight's program as well. Before we get started, as always, please do me a favor, hit that like button so you can push out our material so others can see and hear our content as well. And while you're doing that, go ahead and hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button on Rumble, YouTube, whatever platform you may be watching or listening from. And don't forget to pick up our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can pick it up today. It's absolutely free for you. It'll be a great blessing to you. When you download the app, just hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and good to go. You will not miss any headline or any podcast when it is readily available. All right, on tonight's broadcast, I want to share with you something that I journaled back in on April 21st, 2013. So this was 11 years ago to the day. And I wrote this down somewhere in a journal and I posted it online, because many times I use my personal Facebook page as a journal as well, especially when it comes to things that I feel like are prophetic dreams or visions or a word that the Lord gave me that I believe that was imperative for that season or for the future or whatever the case may be. And this is exactly the event that took place here recently. There's several articles I want to share today, and I felt as if the Lord was prompting in my heart. I felt this urgency to go back and look through my journal and find this one particular dream that I had. And I'm going to share this with you. I'll put up the screenshot so I can show you the date on this. And again, this was from April 21st, 2013. Before I do that, I want to give you a foundational scripture for this. And now listen, I do want to make a disclaimer, and that is to all the sensationists. This is a term for you. You may be a sensationist and not even know that you're a sensationist. So let me help you out a little bit. If you are of the camp of believers or of the camp of belief that God no longer speaks today through dreams, through visions, He doesn't speak to us in our hearts, and He doesn't warn us, He doesn't prepare us, He doesn't give us a word of knowledge or any of the gifts that you read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you're one of these individuals that believe that all of these gifts were only used by the early church apostles, and then in the fourth century at the death of the last apostle, all of these gifts had ceased in operation, then this is probably not going to be a message that you're going to appreciate, nor do you want to stick around and listen to. Now, of course, we would love for you guys to stick around and listen to it and pay attention and whatever. But again, we ask that you be respectful in the comment section or the chat groups. And I know that we'll get emails and we'll get messages from people from these groups of individuals to tell us that we're wrong and that I'm a false prophet and that I'm a liar and I'm being used of the devil and all this nonsense. So we just want to get that disclaimer out there right off the bat. But for you guys who know your word, you should already know that according to the prophet Joel, God said in Joel, in his prophecy, through the prophet Joel, God spoke through Joel in Joel 2:28 and 29 that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters would prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. And he would pour out his spirit upon men servants and maid servants. That's men, women, boys, and girls. Now, again, all of this pertains to the last days. And I will show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke, the sun turning into darkness, the moon into blood. again, look what it says here, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. You guys that are listening by Apple, by Spotify, again, we're in the book of Joel 2:28 all the way down to verse 31. So again, you've heard me talk about this. This was initiated, Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. Peter stands up. He clarifies to all those that were standing that they were all Jews there. And he tells them, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he's telling us this was initiated from that day, from the day of Pentecost in the upper room. This prophecy was released and is still ongoing to this day. God did not cease from speaking in dreams and visions. God did not cease from pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, including sons, daughters, men, and women. He did not cease from doing that. He's still doing this in the earth today. God is still speaking. In fact, in the book of Job, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16, it says that God may speak in one way or in another. Come on, don't put God in a box and say that God can only speak through the word of God. Yes, God speaks through the word of God, but that's not the only way that God speaks through the word. And if he speaks in another way, if he speaks in your heart or he speaks in a dream or he speaks in a vision, it will always line up with the word and confirm the word. It will not contradict the word. Yet man does not perceive it. Look what it says here in Job 33:15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering upon their beds, then he, the Lord, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Now we can read on in this, and it talks about how God will warn you and keep you from hell, and he'll do all these things. What I'm trying to home in on here and what I'm trying to point out to you is that God absolutely, come on, don't let some wet blanket committee come along and try to tell you that God doesn't speak through dreams and visions today, because he does. Now, I'm not saying every time you go to sleep at night and every time you take a nap and you have some dream that it's of God, because that's not true. In fact, I will venture to say that most of the time when we dream, it is not a prophetic dream. Okay? Solomon said, through much activity will come much dreaming. In other words, a lot of our dreams is our subconscious bleeding into our dreams. This is where it takes, guys, I'm going to try to explain this without taking 30 minutes to do this. This takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of skill as in rightfully dividing the word of God, because when you have dreams, if there is biblical symbolism in that dream, then it is likely that it is prophetic. But if I have a dream one night that I'm flying like a bird and I'm flying over the city and I see my family, and then I go back on the ground and I see some of my neighbors, and then we're all sitting around having a picnic together, and then something happens or whatever. That's probably not prophetic. I would venture to say it's not prophetic at all. There's no biblical references there. There's no what we call in the theology, the law of first mention. There's no biblical references, symbolisms, or anything like that. So this is where it takes skill, understanding, knowing the word of God. And the longer you're in this thing, the longer you're saved, and you get around a man or a woman of God who understands these things that can help you. And listen, we're trying to help you as best as we can. You know, maybe we can do an entire segment on, and I think we have, if I'm not mistaken, in our archives, we've done segments on interpreting and proper interpretation of dreams and visions. But I know for myself, in the 23 years of ministry, I have come to understand and know when it is a warning or an instruction from God versus it's just me dreaming. I had too much pizza the night before and I'm just dreaming, okay? Now, having said that, in 2013, there was a dream that I had, and I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to pull it up on the screen So you can read it right here. And again, I woke up in the middle of the night. I remember this like it was yesterday. And I typed this out on my personal Facebook page. I didn't write it down. I typed it out. So it was literally in the raw of the moment. Here's what it says. Quote, wow. Just woke up from a terrifying dream that I pray to God was not prophetic in nature, but I knew in my spirit that it was. Now, I'm going to explain why I was praying that it wasn't. Quote, and again, I'm quoting myself here. I was in a major city somewhere and suddenly something happened, knocking the power out nationwide. Cries of panic and fear filled the air as far as the ear could fathom. And again, I'm reading what I wrote here, and I'll elaborate a little bit more. There was such fear and panic that it was unimaginable to describe. Put it this way. It was so bad, I've been up for nearly 20 minutes now after awakening in tears. Now, again, I want to step back here, and I'm going to tell you, I remember this, even though this is 11 years ago, I remember this as clear as day, as if it happened last week, as it was yesterday. In this dream, I don't know, and please don't message me and ask me, because people do this, what city was it? I was not given that instruction or that information in this dream. I was in a major city. I know that. I was out in the street, very well lit up. I saw the high rises. There was lots of people there, and people were just having a good time. It was at night. I don't know the time. I don't know the month. I don't know any of this. I just know that it was night in a major city, and all of a sudden I heard a noise. Now, guys, I don't know what this noise was. It was an audible noise. I don't know if it was and I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say this. I don't know if it was an EMP that was launched over into the atmosphere that exploded. Don't know that. I can't say unequivocally that that's what that was. I can't say that it was a transformer that exploded. I don't know. I don't know what it was. I just heard a noise. It was like a loud boom or a pop noise. And immediately all of the power went out. All. And when I say all, guys, I'm talking about every artificial light that was lit up was completely out. When I say artificial light, I'm talking about there typically would be the light from the stars, but there was no stars out that night. It was either cloudy or whatnot, but it was such darkness that it reminded me of the passage of Isaiah. And I'm going to read this. This is Isaiah chapter 60. This is what it reminded me of. Here's what it says. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So, again, what I saw and felt, and I'll explain what I mean by felt, I can't describe it, but these two words, gross darkness. Now, why do I say felt? Because, again, there was such gross darkness that I felt, guys, the cries and the panic that I heard, and it billowed through the entire city. I heard it for miles. In this dream, the cries of absolute panic, confusion, it reminds me of Luke 21, distress of nations with perplexity. I heard this, and it was almost like the Lord allowed me to fear that panic that I was in that moment, because I woke up out of the dream, and my eyes were soaked with tears. I was shaking visibly from this dream in 2013. And it took me forever. I remember this. I'll never forget this. It took me so long to get back to sleep. I had to pray it through. I had to read some of the word and get my mind off things. But it is shaking me It even to this day, it rattles me because I remember it so clearly. Now, the reason why, and you say, well, why are you bringing this up now? Because there has been, I don't know if you've noticed this, guys, but there has been warning after warning. And the problem is when we hear a warning once and again and again and again, and it keeps continually being heard over and over and over, it becomes the boy who cried wolf syndrome. And that's what I'm afraid is happening to all of us, including the body of Christ, wherein which of government officials, the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA, all of these have been warning that it's not a matter of if, but when our nation suffers some type of catastrophic cyber attack or an attack that brings down our entire power grid and our infrastructure. Now, I'm going to show you this article from Michael Snyder. Here's what it says, quote, "This is why everyone needs to prepare for the day." Notice he didn't say, "This is why everyone needs to prepare for an event," but he said the day when devastating cyber attacks take U.S. power grids, plural tense, down. Now, I want to read some of this. What would you do if the power grid where you live went down and there was no electricity for an extended period of time? You might want to think about that because experts continue to warn that it's only a matter of time before cyber attacks successfully cripple our power grids. In fact, foreign hackers are working hard to infiltrate critical infrastructure as you read this article. We are extremely vulnerable, and the Russians and Chinese have both developed highly advanced cyber warfare capabilities. When the U.S. ends up fighting a war with Russia or China or both simultaneously, devastating cyber attacks on our power grids will be conducted. When our community is suddenly plunged into darkness, what is your plan? The article goes on to say that the U.S. and Canada are not covered by a single power grid. Rather, there are multiple grids that collectively provide the electricity that all of us need. I'm going to read this excerpt from, this is from Wikipedia. Quote, "The electrical power grid that powers Northern America is not a single grid, but it is instead divided into multiple wide area synchronous grids. The Eastern Interconnection and the Western Interconnection are the largest. Three other regions include the Texas Interconnection, the Quebec Interconnection, and the Alaska Interconnection. Each region delivers power at a nominal 60 hertz frequency. The regions are not usually directly connected or synchronized to each other, but there exist some HVDC interconnectors. The eastern and western grids are connected via seven links that allow 1.32 GW to flow between them. A study by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory found that increasing these interconnections would save energy cost." I don't know if you saw this report, but we reported this on In Time Headlines. The Texas electrical grid operator warned of a possible emergency early this week because of a potential shortfall of power reserves. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas stated last Friday the grid may have deficient reserves from April 29th, that was yesterday, at 7 p.m. Central Time through May 1st, that's tomorrow at 9 p.m. Again, ERCOT, who this is the individual that's sounding the alarm on this, has said it issues the warnings based on its analysis of various scenarios, but they don't reflect an expected deficiency. The group warned of a similar potential emergency this month, and even through the grid, ultimately dodged that shortfall. Spot power prices jumped to more than $4,000 a megawatt hour to reflect tight conditions. The Texas power grid proved vulnerable in February of 2021 when extreme weather left millions in the dark for days and killed more than 200 people. Signs of stress have since started to appear in the hot weather months as electricity consumptions begin to soar, setting records nearly two dozen times in the previous two summers. Bloomberg is reporting that U.S. power grids are facing heightened risk of cyber and physical attacks as the election nears. And one expert is warning that there is a 100% chance. Listen to that. One expert is warning that there is a 100% chance that critical infrastructure will eventually be breached at some point. Quote, I believe there's a 100% chance that organizations in the critical infrastructure space at some point will experience some sort of breach. Said this was Stephanie Benoit Kurtz, who is a lead cybersecurity faculty at the College of Business and Information Technology at the University of Phoenix. She said, quote, no longer are the days when organizations can say we'll never be breached. It's not if, it's when. And guys, look what just, speaking of Texas, I don't know if you saw this or heard about this, and we reported on this. Look at this headline from the Daily Mail. The Russian cyber attacks hack a Texas panhandle drinking water and flood town in first ever raid by Kremlin-aligned group.
Water facility hit by a cyber attack. And right now, experts think that Russian hackers could be to blame for this. The hack caused a water tank to overflow for about 45 minutes in the small town of Muleshoe. That's in the Texas panhandle. Officials eventually took the machine offline and switched it to manual. Meanwhile, suspicious activity was also picked up on networks in three other towns nearby.
Now, the report says Russian hackers claiming to be backed by the Kremlin are believed to have remotely accessed a Texas town's water tower. Now, this is not their power grid, but think about it. Their water tower was remotely accessed. The suspected hack in the Texas panhandle town in the month of January would be the first ever, and isn't it interesting we're just now hearing about this? It would be the first ever disruption of a U.S. drinking water system by Russia after Iran and China carried out similar attacks. The hack in Muleshoe, a community of 5,000 not far from New Mexico border, led to the tower overflowing with thousands of gallons for almost an hour, leading to a state of emergency to be declared. I never heard anything about this until recently. Look when this was published, guys, April 22nd, 2024. Yet this event transpired 3 months before we was ever told about this publicly. It makes you wonder, right? What other things are we not being told? The hacking group allied with the Russian government identified themselves as the, quote, Cyber Army of Russian Reborn, or CARR. The group posted a video on Telegram of the town's water control systems being manipulated, showing how they reset the controls. Quote, we're starting another raid on the U.S. In this video, there are a couple of critical infrastructure objects, namely water supply systems. The message in Russian said, capped by a smiley face emoji. The video then shows the hackers changing values and settings for the utility control systems. The group has previously conducted DDoS attacks on Ukrainian organizations and government agencies. It is unclear what effects the manipulation had, but several local officials have acknowledged the cyber attacks while confirming some form of disruption. Now, again, this was to the water supply. But what I'm talking about tonight, I feel this urgency for everyone, not just to inform you of what's going on tonight. No, that is, if that's what you're getting out of this is just information. No. I am calling everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice tonight and this message to intercessory prayer. Put this on your prayer list throughout the week, throughout the coming months, all the way up to the election and beyond, until you get that release. Pray that God, and I want to get too detailed. We'll get into that in a minute at the end of this segment when we pray about this. But we've got to be in prayer, guys, for our nation. There is nefarious plots and assignments of hell that are being orchestrated, perpetrated, and thought out behind closed doors and trying to be carried out. And they never get the light of day. We don't hear about them until months later. And We don't know how many other successful events have been carried out that were marked as disasters or accidents or happenstance or errors or whatever. Hello, the plane, you know, planes, ships, cargo ships, all these quote unquote accidents and mishaps. Right. Even during a recent congressional hearing, FBI Director Christopher Wray publicly admitted that Chinese hackers have been targeting our power grids. He said that, quote, China's hackers are positioning on American infrastructure in preparation to wreak havoc and cause real-world harm to American citizens and communities if and when China decides the time has come to strike. Now, guys, that's not coming from a blogger, a YouTuber, or a minister of the gospel. That's coming, again, from the FBI director who, it's almost like every 2 weeks, he is sounding the alarm. But you know what's happening? It's falling on deaf ears because life goes on. The power's not out. The water supply's not going out. As long as we have fresh water and we have power, we ignore these warnings. We're not preparing. And I'll get to that in just a minute, why a lot of the body of Christ is not preparing like they should. I'm gonna touch on that in just a minute as well. Look at this headline. China setting the stage for digital Pearl Harbor on America. Over the last year, the size and scope of the Chinese Communist Party's cyberware tactics have begun to come to light, which U.S. officials have publicly admitted to being stunned by. Again, FBI Director Christopher Wray recently repeated his warnings again that Chinese hackers are wreaking havoc on American infrastructure. He went on to say that China's hacking program is larger than that of every other major nation combined. If each one of the FBI cyber agents and intelligence analysts focus exclusively on the Chinese threat, Chinese hackers would still outnumber FBI cyber personnel by at least 50 to 1. He went on to say that China already has burrowed into critical infrastructure in the U.S. and now is just waiting. I want to emphasize that. This is coming from the FBI director, and he is warning that the Chinese hackers are waiting for the right moment to deal a devastating blow. And you wonder why, when I felt like the Holy Spirit was reminding me of this dream that I had 11 years ago, and why I have such a burden to talk about this today. I'm not saying this is it, but could it be? Could the Lord have given me a prophetic glimpse? I believe so. I don't believe that was a pizza dream. I don't believe that was a subconscious dream, because back in 2013, this type of warnings and these type of threats and information was not there then. We were not hearing this. Now, if I had this dream, you know, last week, that's one thing, but this was not in the scope or the radar when I had that dream. So when we see things like this, when we read things like this, when we report on things like this, you see why it is imperative that I have to share something like this. There's a burden there. There's a necessity for us to pray and intercede. Here's another report. The Biden administration and U.S. ports are preparing for cyber attacks as nationwide infrastructure is targeted. U.S. physical infrastructure is increasingly the target of hacks. The Google cybersecurity firm Mandiant released a report last week teasing out links between Russian hackers and a January attack on a water filtration plant in a small Texas town. So this is kind of stems off of the report we just gave you that came out of Texas, where they're warning that the nation's largest ports are at risk. You know, kind of like the Maryland Bridge collapse from the cargo ship that struck it. We're talking about ports here. Ports are under threat. Quote, more needs to be done across the ports and supply chain. This was said by Gene Soroka, who is the executive director for the Port of Los Angeles, who noted that in 2023, the port stopped 750 million attacking attempts. I'm going to go back to this article from Michael Snyder. I want to quote this from you. Quote, the moment that China invades Taiwan, the U.S. and China will be at war. And the Office of the Director of National Intelligence has warned that if Beijing feared that a major conflict with the U.S. were imminent, it almost certainly would consider undertaking aggressive cyber operations against U.S. homeland critical infrastructure and military assets worldwide. Even the vice president, or excuse me, the senior vice president of the North American Electric Reliability Corporation said the following, quote, U.S. power grids are increasingly vulnerable to cyber attacks with the number of susceptible points and electrical networks increasing by about 60 per day. The North American, or again, the NERC said in a statement on a webcast recently that, quote, the grid's virtual and physical weak spots or points in software or hardware that are susceptible to cyber criminals grew to a range of 23 to 24,000 last year from 21,000 by the end of 2022. Executives with the energy regulator reported. And here's what's even more terrifying is the fact that over 90% of all software used to manage the U.S. power grid is linked directly to Russian and Chinese developers. Now think about that. If you've got appliances that are made from China, you've got certain hardware, you've got vehicles, the parts, the components, the sub. Did you know that most of the, or 90% of all the semiconductor chips that we use for manufacturing, it goes in all kinds of appliances, it goes into our vehicles, all of this is in Taiwan. Taiwan is the manufacturer of that. So again, this is why we have such interest in Taiwan, and we do not want China to overtake Taiwan, because if they overtake this and they gain access, again, they can literally shut us down by gaining access to these semiconductors, or these chips, rather. But again, guys, we are literally setting ducks at this point, and this is why it is crucial. And I want to close with this. It is crucial and vital that as intercessors, I'm calling all intercessors that are listening, people that know how to pray, they know how to intercede, they can seek the face of God. I want you to put this up in a matter of prayer. If the Lord tells you to fast, you fast. He tells you to be obedient and to a direction to pray in, you need to be obedient in that. I believe the Lord can reveal things, scenarios, assignments of the enemy before they ever come to fruition. He will reveal. Come on, you need to go back and listen to the podcast I did talking about we are not of the darkness. We are the kingdom of light, and I talked about how that men and women of God are not in darkness when it comes to the assignments of hell, when it comes to what God is about to do in the earth, when he's about to pour out his judgment, when he's about to make a move. Come on, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're in tune with him, then we're going to know the direction that God's heading in, and we're going to know, watch this, we're going to know when there's an imminent threat on the horizon. And I believe we're in one of those scenarios right now where it's just everything is aligning together. It's climaxing. And I believe we've got to be in intercessory prayer. Our only hope, guys, is that we, as the body of Christ in intercessory prayer, can either delay or stop a lot of these tragic events from transpiring in America. We know that prophecy has to be fulfilled. Things have to move forward. But listen, I don't know about you. I have children. I know many of you have children. Many of you have grandchildren. We have families. We don't want to see things like this happen. So, you know, I'm not going to sit back idle and do nothing. The Bible says the prudent man sees the evil day approaching and he prepares accordingly. So that leads me to the final conclusion of what I'm about to say. We're going to get into some prayer, but before I do that, I believe, again, and I'm touching on a little bit of my message last week in our podcast, I believe there's been a great danger, that's a damage. There's been great damage done to the body of Christ, and what is being preached and taught behind pulpits in the form of this. Again, and I want to preface this by saying I believe in a rapture of the church. I lean towards a pre-tribulation rapture, but you've heard me say that I believe that it is irresponsible for us and our families as believers to not prepare accordingly. And some of these preachers out there, guys, YouTube preachers, podcasters, pastors behind pulpits, I've heard their messages, and they are conveying a message to their congregation as a Western church that we will be taken out before anything bad ever happens. And therefore, watch this. What that does is it creates a sense, a false security and an unpreparedness for the people, and they will not prepare accordingly. They will not have an adequate amount of food supplied. They will not have an adequate amount of water supplied. They will not have an emergency route planned. They will not have a bug out bag. They will not have the proper things to prepare in the event, listen to me, that things get a lot worse than what they've been led to believe. So that is a big thing that you're hearing me harp on a lot lately, because we've got to be prepared. So you say, well, how in the world do we prepare for something like this? Listen, save up some money. Get a gas power generator, get a solar generator, get candles, make preparations in the event. You get your family around, sit around and talk to one another and say, okay, if this happens, what is our plan A? What is our plan B? What is our plan C? What do we do? I think this is a serious conversation that we need to have with our families, because we don't know what's coming in the days ahead, but the Spirit of God, listen to me, is revealing it to those that are in tune and that are listening. The problem is people are not listening, even in the body of Christ. There's a rift in the body of Christ. And if you're of the belief and of the camp that God no longer speaks through dreams and visions and through the Holy Spirit, then you're going to mark off all these warnings. You're not going to listen to them. When men and women of God come out and they warn about this stuff, you'll just write them off and you won't listen to anything they got to say, and you will get caught with your pants down. Pardon me. When power stops, life grinds to a halt. Lights go out. Sewage treatment stops. Clean water stops. Electric cars, buses, and trolleys stop. Elevators stop. All of this trapping older and disabled people, for many, home heating, refrigeration, cooking, and clothes washing completely comes to a standstill. Along with medical devices such as oxygen generators, all this, think about it, everything comes to a standstill, friend. We need to be prepared accordingly the best we can. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't have the finances to prepare for this. And listen, none of us are millionaires on this, listening to this, more than likely. None of us have the adequate amount of resources to prepare, but we can do the best that we can. Watch this. Let me show you an example here. And we're going to pray. Jesus told his disciples, there is 5,000 men, not including women and children, that are weary, tired, and hungry, and they need to be fed. I need you to feed them. And they said to him, Lord, how are we going to feed all these people? And he looked around and says, what do you have? And there was a young boy there that had 5 fish and 2 loaves. And he said, let me have what you have. I will bless it and multiply it. And he gave it back to the disciples, and they distributed it. And God supernaturally blessed it and sustained it. And all of the people, all of their needs were met. Remember when Elijah showed up at the widow's home? She had enough oil in the jar for her and her son to eat and die. And the prophet said something that was offensive and absurd. And he said, give me the portion of oil. And she said, I'm paraphrasing here. Are you kidding me, prophet? Do you not realize I have literally enough here for me and my son? And then we're done. We're finished. It's dried up. There ain't no more. And he says, I know what you have, but the Lord has given me a word and said, if you will be obedient to the little that you have, he will bless it and make it much. Oh, come on. I got it. This is a word for somebody. Stop fretting over what you don't have and use what you do have. Do what you, come on, God will never do, listen to me, God will never do in a miracle what you can do in your own strength. Do all that you can do. And then watch, come on somebody, watch the hand of God move. When the children of Israel were fleeing and they were exiting from Egypt and they came out, and they had the armies of Pharaoh at their backside, and they had a Red Sea at their front side. They did all that they knew to do. They were following the man of God. They were listening to a degree to the man of God, at least some of them were. And they got to a point where they could no longer do anything in their natural strength, in their ability. And God showed up and split the sea for them to go over and do in the impossible what they could not do in the possible. So that's your word today. Please don't email me, message me, well, Brother Ricky, we can't prepare, we can't do this, we can't do that, we don't have this yet. Use and utilize what you have. But here's the key. You need to be prepared. I'm telling you, listen, I would love to believe that before the West, before the United States, before the United Kingdom, before Britain, before we saw anything like a cyber attack on our infrastructure, the power grid, knocking the power out for weeks, months, whatever the case, I would, as much as I would love to hope and believe that we would never experience anything like that. Again, I want to remind you, friends, that our brothers and sisters outside of the West have already experienced, walked out, and are walking out the very things that many preachers have convinced you, come on, that you would never walk through or see. And I'm telling you, you need to wake up. I'm shaking you awake today. Listen to this preacher. Don't get mad at me because I'm not preaching what your pastor's telling you or what your church teaches or what your favorite YouTube guy is saying and telling you that you're not going to see anything bad and you're never going to see anything. You're never going to experience any trials. You're never going to experience anything remotely close to what we can. And see, this is where the whole fear-mongering narrative comes from. Because they label guys like us, the watchmen, as fear mongers because they've been cradled, come on, to sleep with lies and with fairy tales telling them that they're never going to experience anything uncomfortable because God favors the West above every other nation. If ancient Israel, who God was married to, experience the chastisement of God and the selective judgments of God, then my friend, listen to me, then America is not exempt. So listen, we're going to pray. But before we do that, again, I want to encourage you guys, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. Please download our free app. You can get it today by going to your Apple store, going to your Play store. Download it today. Hit yes to push notification. Find the link in the description of this video. Even in the chat we put up there where it says free app, you'll see the link. And we'll give you that link there so you can download that app today. And guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, we want to give you the opportunity to partner with this ministry. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, pray about it. This helps us continue to do what we do. Again, we don't sell merchandise. We don't do any of that stuff. We are a partner-based ministry that we're enabled for us to be able to operate and do what we do. It's through your generous support. So you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, two different ways, through the app or through the main website, or you can give directly by check or money order, and you can make it out to right there on your screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Would you take a moment and pray with me as we pray? I'm going to pray into what we've talked about today, and I'm just going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads me and how he leads me to pray, I want to pray, and I just ask that you would come into agreement with me today. Come on, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I have delivered this word that I feel burdened in my heart to. Lord, this dream that you get, and I believe with all my heart that you gave me in 2013, I believe this was a warning. I believe that, Lord, if there was ever a time that this was relevant, it is now, even though it is 11 years later. Lord, I know that in the spirit realm, there is no limitations on time or restraints because we live in a different time. Even in the book of Peter, it says 1,000 years is as unto a day, and a day is unto 1,000 years. Lord, so that there is no time stamp. Unless there are specifics given in a dream or a vision or a word from the Lord, there is no time stamps or expiration dates for prophetic words. So I pray right now, Father, I pray into this. And Lord, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, including my own family, we would prepare accordingly. We would be ready. We would be ready in materials. We would be ready in supplies. We would be ready spiritually. We would be ready emotionally. We would make every provision possible that in the event of a disaster such as a cyber attack on our infrastructure, our power grids, our water supply, that we would know what to do. We would know the next turn. We would know that there's a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. There's contingency plans in place. And Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are faithful. God, I'm reminded of Elijah the prophet. Lord, you were faithful to provide and supply him even when the brook dried up, Lord, you provided through the ravens. Lord, when the fish and the bread became scarce, you simply multiplied it and increased it and distributed it. In Jesus' name, the jar of oil miraculously filled up and kept filling up and kept the provision on the table for the widow who was obedient to the word of the Lord. God, I thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I thank you that, Father, you said in your word that you know those who have a covenant with you. You have a book of remembrance that is written in heaven for those who fear you and meditate upon your name. God, we saw it manifested in Acts chapter 10 with a man by the name of Cornelius with all of his household. Lord, when that man needed a miracle, you showed up in the form of an angel who informed him that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of heaven, knew him by name. And he supplied that miracle. He spoke to Peter, who was away in town on the housetop of Joppa, who was fasting and praying. And the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached to the first Gentile convert. And it was because the man feared you. He had a relationship with you. And God, if you did it for all these men and women of God, and not only those that we have an account of in the 66 books of the Bible, but even those for thousands of years afterwards that we may never have met on this side of heaven, that we don't know who they are. They don't have a book. They don't have a podcast. They don't have a YouTube video. They're not on Christian television, but they can set them. If I brought them in this studio, I could set them here on this microphone and they could testify that when they were down and they were out and it looked like everything was about to be done with them and they were finished and were about to throw in the towel, God, that you showed up and you showed out in Jesus' name. And God, I'm reminded of the psalmist that said, I was young and now I'm old, and I'm yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg of bread. So Father, we're not worried, we don't fret, but Lord, we use wisdom today and we prepare accordingly in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I feel in my spirit that we're to shift this prayer and we're to go into a spiritual warfare militant approach to this. And Father, in Jesus' name, God, we bind all assignments of the evil one. We bind all assignments of hell that would orchestrate plans to try to attack our country and attack our nation. Come on, if you're listening to me, you're watching, and you may not be in America, but your nation's representative, come on, this includes you. You pray for your country. You pray for your city in Jesus' name. Every assignment of hell that's perpetrated against our water supply, against our power grid, against every infrastructure in Jesus' name that would try to bring us to a halt, Father, we ask that you would expose it in the Holy Ghost. Lord, reveal it to intercessors. Reveal it to the prayer warriors. Lord, give it to them in a dream. Give it to them in a vision so that they can warn accordingly in Jesus' name, that the word can get out and that they can warn. Lord, men and women who are maliciously trying to carry out cyber attacks, I pray, Father, that you would reveal it to the authorities, the FBI, the CIA, the DHS, and all those involved in Jesus' name. May they be exposed in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over our nation and every city and every state in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you'd place warring angels about our borders and about our ports of entry in Jesus' name. Warring angels with flaming swords in Jesus' name. You said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly hosts and heavenly places in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you today that we don't, Lord, we take up warfare by our prayers and our intercessions today. And Father, we thank you today that you, Lord, you said that we could pray, that we could intercede. Lord, and you said we have not because we've asked not. So we're coming, asking, seeking, knocking, and praying, and we're standing in the gap and making up that hedge. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, endtimeheadlinesagain.org, endtimeheadlines.com, guys. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Again, we're going to sign off for tonight. I hope you guys will be right back here. All you, everybody's new. I hope that you'll come back and join us. We'll be back. Listen, we'll be off tomorrow on May 1st, but we'll be right back here May 2nd, Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. And we're going to have another great segment lined up for you guys. So we love you. We appreciate you, all of our partners, our prayer warriors, our intercessors. We pray for you guys. Even this morning, I was lifting up all of our partners and praying over your needs, praying over your home, your families, and your finances and everything. And we take this seriously, guys. We take all this serious. So again, we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll see you in a couple days. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.